Leonardo. Paper 13. Morning. Agenda paper 13 is about the recognition of deferred tax assets when an entity is loss-making. The interpretation committee was asked to clarify two issues. Issue one is whether S12 requires that a deferred tax asset is recognized regardless of an entity's expectations of future tax losses when there are appropriate reversing taxable temporary differences. Issue 2 is how the guidance in S12 should be applied when tax laws limit the extent to which losses can be recovered against future profits. Regarding issue 1, we think that according to paragraph 24 and 34 of S12, an entity should recognize a deferred tax asset only to the extent that it expects future taxable profits. In our view, the existence of taxable temporary difference is only an indicator, not actual evidence, that future taxable profits are probable. We think that if an entity expects future tax losses, the entity cannot recognize the deferred tax assets, because it will not expect to pay taxes, and so there would be no economic benefit in the form of reduction in tax payments that will flow to the entity. An illustrative example of our view is in paragraph 24 of the paper. We also think that this issue is related to the proposed narrow scope amendment to IS-12, recognition of deferred tax assets for unrealized losses, and that our view is consistent with the conclusion reached by the committee in its May meeting. Regarding issue 2, we disagree with both views presented in the paper, because both views assume that deferred tax assets are recognized regardless of an entity's expectation of future tax losses. On the basis of our treaties with national standard setters and regulators, we understand that issue 1 is common and there is divergence in practice. Consequently, we think that the Interpretation Committee should recommend to the ISB to amend S12 to clarify that deferred tax assets are not recognized regardless of an entity's expectation of future tax losses when there are appropriate reversing taxable temporary differences. We also recommend to include this proposed amendment in the narrow scope amendment to S12, recognition of deferred tax assets for unrealized losses. We ask the committee member if they agree with our recommendation. Thank you.
Just to repeat that last point, to make sure I'm clear on it, we expect to give the board one package of stuff about IAS 12. Rather than drip feeding them,
because we think that this issue is related with the PM.
Comments, questions, reactions? Laurent? Tony, yours is on. So.
Okay. I disagree with the staff on this one. My sense is that there's actually limited diversity in practice on issue 1, that there is diversity in practice on issue 2, which is my sense is the issue that ought to be addressed. IS 12, perhaps not a very good standard, but it does have a principle, which is that deferred taxes reflect the tax consequences of recovering assets or settling liabilities. And the staff proposal would actually mean quite the opposite, that deferred tax accounting does not reflect the consequences of recovering assets or settling liabilities, because it would result in a deferred tax liability sitting on the books that's never going to result in the payment of any deferred taxes. And so I think so not only does that not reflect the principle in the standard, I actually think that's probably misleading. I think if you looked at the green book, I know we've got the blue books and the red books on the table, but if you looked at the green book and followed the references in it, I think it would actually point to the conclusion that says you do recognise deferred tax asset to the extent of a deferred tax liability that's going to reverse in the right period for the right profits and so on, because otherwise, say, you would just end up with a deferred tax liability that's a meaningless number. I guess I'd also think that when we look at the question of deferred tax assets on available to sale investments that may be held to maturity, that was a unit of account question. It was a question about whether you looked at those assets in isolation from all of your other profits and losses, and I think the committee said, no, you don't. But I don't think it said, well, you don't end up recognising an asset when you have suitable reserves from taxable temporary differences. So I think I'm probably no to all three questions on this one.
Laurent?
I'm in complete agreement with Tony. It's a question of when recognizing deferred tax liabilities, deferred tax assets, what do you look first, whether you're going to look at the profits to be generated or whether you look whether there are sufficient taxable temporary differences against which you can account for the deductible temporary differences or existing tax losses. And I think that the standard is clear enough that the order of priority is you first start to offset existing taxable temporary differences with deductible temporary differences or existing tax losses, and then you make the assessment if you have remaining deductible temporary differences and remaining tax losses, whether you shall recognize those in addition as deferred tax assets, and that's where you look at future taxable profits you can really get. So I completely disagree also with the view expressed by the staff at the first question. And on the question two, are we on question two as well?
Might as well.
Yeah. On question, the second question, when you have a 60% recovery each year, I come from a jurisdiction where indeed this is the case, and I know this is the case in Germany, Italy, and many countries, not just France. There might be some diversity of view, but I think that the predominant view has been to acknowledge that there is a limitation to the amount of tax losses you can recover. So the 60% limit is considered into the amount of tax you can recover each year, so as to offset this time the taxable temporary differences. So I was more in that case, so the view, I can't remember whether it's view A or view B, but it's the view 1A.
I agree with you,
Laurent.
I think there is some diversity in that one there.
I agree with your answer, but I think there's some diversity.
Yeah. So it needs to be clarified, I agree.
Yeah.
Kev?
I guess in Germany, view 1B is applied predominantly. Yeah.
Kev?
When I read the staff paper, I'm actually convinced there is the staff recommendation, because it makes sense. And I'm a little bit concerned about taking the view one. It says deferred tax assets recognized regardless of expected future losses. I think it's kind of misleading. So I think it's just that looking at the situation, the historical situation, and the company's business, I think judgment is required as long as you can recover. In future, you can recognize tax assets. I think that's what it means. So, I'm not kind of favor of view one, just as it is, but to become a kind of prudent issue, I basically support view two, but understanding that comment there. Tony mentioned, I think we can kind of expand a little bit further.
I think Tony and Laurent have focused in on the right question, which is you have to look first at reversing temporary differences, temporary taxable differences in your sequencing. You don't just look at future. I think that was the point that you guys were making. Joanna?
Just to say, and I'm not going to say any more than I 100% agree with Tony and Laurent, so I couldn't, I've got absolutely nothing to add to those comments.
Scott?
I also agree with Tony and Laurent. I'm on issue one. On issue two, I'm not sure I quite understand the fact pattern well enough to have a view yet. Issue two seems like a worthwhile question. But issue one, I thought the standard is clear that if you've got deferred tax liabilities already on the books and assets that reversed in the same period, same jurisdiction, they get recognized.
Yeah. Luca, did you want to come in on this one?
Yes, thanks. I have a little bit a different view, probably more in line with the staff view rather than the some other members of the committee. My personal view is that when you are looking regarding the recoverability of the deferred tax assets, the standard is not so straightforward, and there is some level of managerial judgment that you have to use. I think that there are other paragraphs of the standards that clearly indicated that you have to look at the future taxable income that you will have, and that the fact that there is a reversal of deferred tax liabilities is something that can help you, but it's not necessarily sufficient to recognize the deferred tax assets. If you look at paragraph 29, for instance, it's quite clear indicating that you have to look at the future and you have not to considering the additional taxable income that you will have if you are forecasting to have the recognition of a cost that is not deductible in the future, for instance, a provision in 2015. So you cannot considering this additional taxable income there. But on the contrary, you have to considering the cost that has determined a previous the recognition of a previous deferred tax assets in order to take into account when you will sustain and deduct this cost if there is a carry forward mechanism, if you will have a negative taxable income that you can carry forward, and in this case you have to look at the possibility to recover or not this negative taxable income. So the approach to look at the end of the story and so to look forward, I think that is clear in the standard, and not necessary the reversal of the deferred tax liabilities is the only indicator and is the sufficient test that you have to perform. In my mind, there are two big problems that are absolutely relevant. The first one is that the standard does not require any time lapse to consider it for the test of the deferred tax assets. So what I have seen in practice are two very different approaches. The first one is I will do the recoverability, the test of recoverability of the deductible tax assets only considering my provision, my forecast of taxable income for the 4 year or 5 year plans. Others think that this is not consistent with other requirements of IFRS, for instance, for impairment, in which you take a longer period. You will not consider the cash flows only for 4 or 5 year plans, but a longer period. And so try to do some additional projection of the future taxable income also after the end of the business plan that has been approved by the board. So one item is which are the practical approach that I have to use to do the test. The second is that it's clear that there is a test for a taxable asset. It's not clear if there is a test for deferred tax liabilities. It seems that you have in any case to recognize deferred tax liabilities, even though in my mind this could create a problem, especially when there are entities that are in liquidation and it's absolutely remote that they will pay future taxes. So I think that these two points could be and should be presented to the board to be guidelines for the test to apply for the recoverability of the ferrous tax assets, if I have to consider the business plan prepared and approved by the board, or if I have to have a longer period more consistently with other elements of the IFRS, for instance, EIS 36. And the second is if there is a test to be done also for the fair tax liability.
Thank you, Luca. Reinhardt?
I agree with the comments made by Lawrence and Tony. And the reason I do is because I think paragraphs 28 and 29 put forward a principle that I think both of them enunciated, which is that the assumption, inherent assumption under IAS 12 is that you realize your assets for the financial statement carrying amounts and pay your liabilities for the financial statement carrying amounts, compare that to the underlying tax bases, determine what are the deductible differences, the taxable differences, to the extent they offset, no problem. To the extent you have deductible differences left over, then you can look to essentially what are those items inherent in the assets that are the fair value increments, if you will, above the book value. So you can look to whether there's future taxable profits you expect to get, or if you have some tax planning strategies to being able to realize those built-in gains. So I think that's a long way around of saying that, based on what I understand to be the principles behind IAS 12 in those paragraphs, I would agree with what the other said.
That's consistent with the way the specialists have always explained it to me. Andrew?
Yeah, first issue, I completely agree with Reinhardt, Tony, the logic, etc., so I won't repeat any of those arguments. The second issue, I think, is somewhat trickier, and I'm not sure I've fully understood the mechanics of how this works. I'm not sure if the mechanics are identical in France, Germany, or Italy, for that matter. But if it's the case that if you have a taxable temporary difference of 100 and you have some carry forward tax losses, and that 100 reverses, and you can absorb 60 into the tax losses, and you have to, nothing else is going on, let's assume there are no other tax effects whatsoever, you have to pay tax on the 40.
Yes.
If that's how it works, then I think you should recognise, or you should limit the deferred tax assets to 60% of the deferred tax liability. Yes.
And I confirm this is how it works.
Right.
It is taxable temporary difference of 100 reverses, you can only deduct 60, even if you have more than 60 of tax losses.
Okay.
Can I
look? You'll never get an answer for that. Yeah.
It doesn't carry forward.
Well, then you assess whether you can recognize it. Otherwise, if you have remaining 40, then you go into the usual exercise of recognition of deferred tax assets to see whether you have sufficient future taxable profits, but not with the deferred tax liabilities that are recognized on the books.
And that was my comment, that I didn't quite understand how the tax law works, so I wasn't equipped to answer the question.
Luca, did you want to come back in for the last word?
No, just to complicate a little bit the case, you can have some specific taxation in which you have more than one block, so you have a limit for years in percentage, so you can deduct only the 60%, and then you have a carry forward of the other 40%, but with the time limit, so you can make the carry forward for 2 or 3 or 5 years.
Okay.
So this could create additional elements of complexity.
Okay, Michael, how do we resolve this one?
Is it an agenda decision now, or do we still have something to take along with Thomas's package?
Okay. On the first issue, I think it's an agenda decision. On the second issue, though, I think we just heard two different patterns from Laurence and from Luca. And so I think there it's going to depend on what the fact pattern is, because what Luca was saying was that you would carry forward the 40%, but there would be a time limit as to how far you could carry it forward.
Typically, at my experience, you can typically carry it forward.
There may or may not be a time, but you can typically carry it forward. But
the reason I think that the paper positioned it the way it did was to narrow it down and say you can't actually rely on future profits other than reversing temporary differences to focus it. But typically, the ones I'm seeing in Germany and France and so forth, they can be carried forward.
Laurent?
I mean, I come from jurisdictions where there was a limit before we could carry forward. The fact that you have a limit on the amount of losses you can carry forward, you just take that into account in measuring the amount or measuring or recognizing any deferred tax assets. You just put time limits on the amount of losses you can recover, and that affects the measurement of the deferred tax assets you can recognize and measure because you anticipate future taxable profits against which you're going to utilize your tax losses. So compared to the issue we have been discussing with in this paper, which is can you offset deductible temporary differences or tax losses against existing taxable temporary differences, and for how much when you are in a situation where there is a limit to this, I think listening to the committee that we come to the same view that yes, you can have deferred tax assets, but these deferred tax assets shall be limited to the percentage that is authorized by law. And then if we consider that we are not in a loss situation, a company making losses and so on, you have a second assessment to make of how much of the remaining tax losses you can recognize as a tax asset. And that's just the usual mechanics under IS-12.
Yep.
No interpretation here.
Agree with that completely.
This has been so much fun. Joanna?
I was actually going to say that, and I think this is where Michael was coming from, that for question two, because the staff actually haven't, if you like, analysed the differences between those two, because you were using the view two, so you basically said you disagree with both of them, I believe that should come back to us, because the discussion that we've had here, to be honest, I will say I haven't had time to think about it. I didn't really focus on this. I would like the opportunity to read a paper and focus on it.
That's fair. Absolutely. All right. We're not going to have an agenda decision drafted on this in time for update anyway, so the agenda decision will be coming back to you.
Yeah.
And so we'll bring the second half back to you as well. But the expectation is we're not going to have anything that has to go to the board as part of Thomas's exercise. I think Tony, I wrote down here, Tony's analysis, which a week from now I will forget, but the point about it being a unit of measure issue, I think, was the key to me getting it through my head. Okay. One more, I think, which would be
Denise.
Denise.